hello,
Love Talk Radio.
Well, good evening to everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight with tonight's segment of Nothing But the Truth with your host, Katie Pierce, and Truth Deliverance Ministry. Our topic for tonight is From Fear to Faith. When I was looking at the lesson and going over what needed to be talked about today and just in a few conversations that I've had during the week, I realized that we have to get to a point of not having fear in what God has called us to do. And so I began to look back and pull the lesson from fear to faith, which is a lesson that we had during our own Bible study segment for Truth Deliverance on a Wednesday night. But I wanted to go over and reiterate some things, if you will allow me, on tonight when we look at Gideon and the life of Gideon. Most of us, like Gideon, have probably, you know, said to the Lord that there's somebody who's more qualified, there's somebody who has more education, there's somebody who, whatever the who is, that we've, you know, said to the Lord. But God has called us to do something, and the earth is waiting for us. There are those within the earth who are waiting on us to step out and do what God has called us to do. And so what we're going to do on tonight, we want to open up with a word of prayer, of course, and then we want to get into tonight's lesson. Those of you who have your Bibles, if you could turn with us to the book of Judges, we're going to start in the book of Judges, the sixth chapter, and we're going to look at from about the first through the 16th verse. The first through the 16th verse. We may jump around a little bit, but I'm sure you'll be able to follow along. So let's open with the word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We come on tonight, Lord God, realizing that it is through you that we live, move, and have our very being, O Lord God. Father God, we come before you on tonight, God, because your word says to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we come on tonight that word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, O Lord God. We come, O Lord God, that word will lead us into all truth, O Lord God. So we thank you for your word on tonight, O Lord God, and we look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith, O God, and we decree and declare that he who has begun a good work in us will finish it to the day of redemption, O Lord God. So we just thank you, O Lord God, for your anointing. We thank you, O God, for calling us, for selecting us, for seeing in us, O Lord God, that which we could not even see in ourselves, O Lord God. We thank you for the seed of your word, O Lord God, that you've planted in us, O Lord God. And then we thank you, O God, that you've germinated that word in us with your word, O Lord God, that it may grow in it, O Lord God. Grow in us, O Lord God. Become effective in us, O Lord God. We thank you for your mighty word on today, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. Now we bind the enemy, O Lord God, who would try to come and snatch up the seed of your word, O Lord God, who would try, O Lord God, to get us to stumble, to blunder, O Lord God. We come against that enemy now in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We decree and declare that no weapon formed will prosper, O Lord God. So we thank you, O Lord God, that which you've called and that which you have ordained in us, O Lord God, from the foundation of the world, O Lord God, it shall come to pass. Oh, we thank you, God. Oh, we bless you on tonight, oh God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, we relinquish all to the Holy Spirit, the teacher, oh Lord God, the one who leads us into all truth. Holy Spirit, make your presence known even now in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And so it is in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. So on tonight, from fear to faith, we just want to begin to look at Gideon, of course, who was a man who seemed to feel that God had forgotten him. He began to ask God about some things that was happening even among his people. He began to ask God some things and inquiring of some answers. And it's oftentimes that I've said to many, because I was raised with the adage that you don't question God. And I've always said that in order for you to get an answer, you have to ask a question. And so when we inquire of God, not in doubt, but when we inquire to get information, to become informed, to become knowledgeable of a situation, I think that it's admirable on our part. And all that getting, the Bible says, get an understanding. Amen. And so we're going to start our lesson on tonight. I want to read for you verses 1 and 2. I think I want to be verses 1, 2, and 3 from chapter 6. Those of you that have your Bibles, turning with us to chapter 6. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountain. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also the Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and with their tents, coming in numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number and would enter the land to destroy it. This is verse 6. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And so we see in these particular verses that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And when we do evil, or when we become sinful with God, sin, of course, separates us from God. And so here we have a standpoint where sin had come in. They had separated themselves from God, and God had caused the Midianites to come in and to overtake them. And so we see here that the Bible says that they, you know, and I need to underline this, forgive me, because it said that in verse 2, because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which were are in the mountains. And all I can say is to that. And so when we look at this, that they were hiding in the mountains, trying to keep that which they had gotten so that the Midianites couldn't get to what they have. And then so as we begin to look at this in verse 6, as we pick up in verse 6, it says, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And so as we just begin to look at these verses, we understand that the children of Israel, of course, again, had did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of their enemy. But it did say that he delivered them into the hand of their enemy for 7 years. God delivered them into the hand of the Midian. God brought Israel into bondage through the oppression of the Midianites. This was an example of God's grace and mercy to Israel, because the oppression would make them turn back to God. It would have been worse if God would have just left them alone. There are some situations and some circumstances that come into our life, and it can look like God has left us, or it can look like God has turned his back on us, but there are some things and situations, had it not come into our lives, we would have never gotten back on the straight and narrow path that God would have us to do. There are some whom things come, oppression comes, casualties come, things come into their life that get them to a point where they have to call on the Lord. Are you with me? They have to. That's not the more excellent way, or that's not the perfect way of repentance, so for us to just come to a mindset and say, Lord, I repent for what I did, would be the more excellent way. But there are some situations and circumstances that come into our lives that cause us to turn back to the Lord. I, again, would have to say that's not the more excellent way, but it is a way. that can be used to get us to look to God. I've heard people say, you know, and oftentimes it's bothered me because they'll say, you know, God, let me have a heart attack in order for me to see him. Let's check your diet and see what made you have a heart attack, you know. But even in the midst of that casualty or even in the midst of that tribulation, it was a circumstance and a situation that caused you to turn your face back to God. And so as we begin to look at this, I don't believe that God has to use certain situations as strokes and heart attacks and burning down houses and things of that nature. I don't believe that, but we have to look at what caused these situations to come. And the Bible says that what caused this situation to come to the children of Israel here was that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we have to understand that sin opens a door. Sin is a legal gateway for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc in our lives. Amen, somebody. Oh, I wish I had a prayer in church. And so we have to begin to look at it. But God can take those situations, can take those casualties to get us to turn back and begin to cry out to him. And so as we begin to look at the Midianites, they prevailed against Israel. The Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves dens, caves, and strongholds, which were in the mountains. Whenever the Israelites would go and gather up the things that the whatever it is that they had planted, when they would go to harvest it, their enemy and the Amalekites who had joined forces, the Midianites and the Amalekites had joined forces and would come. And the Bible says they would come like locusts. There were so many of them. They were, you know, literally uncountable. Forgive me for that word. You know, they were innumerable in how many came upon him. So many came up and they came against the camp. They would destroy everything that they had, and they would leave nothing for Israel, sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. So they would come up, their livestock, their tents, and numerous, and just come against them and prevail. And the children of Israel had to make caves. The dens, the caves, and the stronghold was the from the oppression of the Midianites because of the sin of Israel. It brought humiliation. They were humiliated by their enemy. Before they could turn back to God, they had to be humbled. So they lived in caves. They were cave dwellers instead of properly civilized human beings living in caves, living in dirt. And that was not, this is not the best way for God's people. God desires, he said that Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So, of course, this was not the more excellent way that God would have for the children of Israel to live in these caves. But they found themselves doing some things. There are some situations and some circumstances that put you in a situation and you don't even know how you got there. You know, when we're in a situation of humiliation, when we're in a situation of desperate, we're desperate, and we don't know what to do, it causes us to do some things that's humiliating. You remember the son, the prodigal son, and what it caused him to do. He decided that he wanted what was due him, and he went off into a land that wasn't his and began to just sow his oats, if you will. And the Bible says that he was put in a position where he was ready to eat the feeding that was fed to the hog. He was ready to eat what he was feeding to the hogs, but he came to himself. He came to himself and realized that his father had something better for him. And so we have to get to a point in our lives when we understand and when we realize, when we're at that point of desperation, hallelujah, when we're at that point of no return, when we're at that point where we don't know what to do, who to turn to, we can turn to God. We can call on God. The Bible says in the books of Acts that if we call on the Lord, that he will save. If we, those that call on him, he will answer. He will answer. So the children of God, and keep in mind, these are those that know God. The children of Israel, they knew God. These are not people who did not know about God, who didn't know who God was, who didn't know what God had done previously, how God brought them out of the land of bondage and brought them into a land of milk and honey. They knew God. And there are those of you who are listening on the night. You're in a situation, you're in a circumstance of no return. You're in a situation and a circumstance of humiliation. You're in a situation and a circumstance where you're desperate to do some things. But I admonish you on today, if you will but call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you would do like the Midianites did and call on the name of the Lord, hallelujah, I believe, I know that he will come and that he will answer. Let's pick up at verse 11, if you will. Picking up at verse 11. Verse 11 says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat up under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, while the son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now here is a man who was hiding his goods. He was hiding his goods. And yet here the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. God sees in us sometimes what we can't even see in ourselves. Amen. So Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Have I not sent you? Now, I mean, in just reading this particular scripture, first of all, he prophetically decreed something in him and told him that he was a mighty man of valor, that the angel of the Lord already spoke a prophetic word into him while they were yet having a conversation. Come on, somebody. And so Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, he begins to tell them, the angel, what's been happening and what's going on and what happened to the miracles that God has shown to our ancestors and has shown to our ancestors and our forefathers. And he was saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Israel, out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. I just decreed that you were a mighty man of valor. I just decreed that to you. And so now I'm telling you to go in what I have decreed in you. My God to glory. Go in what I have decreed in you, and you shall deliver the children out of the hands of the Midianites. Some of us have been called to do some things, and we didn't feel worthy to do it. Some of us have been looking back at what happened in our past and things that didn't fall in line, things didn't line up the way we thought they should line up, you know, the things that we had perfected or pictured in our minds and were hopeful would happen, it didn't happen. And so now we're walking in fear, and we don't want to move. We're frozen in fear. And we don't want to move out of that place because of the fact that we feel like we failed God, or we feel like our lives are not what we would have them to be. And here God is prophetically speaking to you on tonight, and he's beginning to say, that which I've planted in you, that which I've spoken in you, if you would just step out of your place of comfort, if you would just step out of the place and begin to do, I promise, God says, I have ordered your steps on today. Your steps have been ordered by me, but you've got to begin to move. You've got to begin to step out. The angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, go in this might of yours. Go in this might of yours. Now, he hadn't even began to exercise the might. He hadn't really seen the might happening, but the spirit, the angel is telling him, you have to go. I'm speaking to somebody right now. You can't be paralyzed in the thing of your past. You've got to get up and begin to move and say, on this thing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Even when people don't understand it, even when people don't look like they can see it in you, you've got to begin to see it in yourself. You've got to begin to see yourself as God sees you and step out in faith. Step out in faith and do what God has called you to do. I don't care what your past failures were. I'm talking to somebody on this line today. I don't care what your past failures were. Whatever God assigned you to do, whatever God has called you to do, if you can but step out in faith and believe it, do not be paralyzed by fear. Don't be paralyzed by fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, of course, says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But we got to move out in that sound mind. The sound mind is knowing who we are in God. Knowing who we are in God. Watch this. Oh, download. Knowing who God is in us. Just knowing who God is. Don't worry about who you are. Don't worry about whose child you were. Don't worry about how you was created and brought into this world. Just know who God is and know that God is able to do the exceedingly and the abundantly and the above all. You can ask, think, dream, conjure, write down with a Crayola, put it on Facebook, tweet it. God is more than able to do what you can say. He can do it. But you've got to be released from that fear and begin to step out on faith. Amen. Step out on faith. Hallelujah. So the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said, now it's amazing to me. He says, have I not sent you? But I'm looking at the conversation preceding, and I don't see where he asked him to go. You know, I don't see that conversation. But he says, have I not sent you? Have I not sent you? You know, we're sitting and we're waiting on somebody else to come and to deliver us. We're sitting and we're waiting on somebody else to do it. We're sitting and we're waiting on somebody who's more qualified. We're sitting and we're waiting on somebody who's more astute. We're sitting and we're waiting on somebody who's been to the school of theology. And we're sitting and we're waiting. We're sitting and we're waiting. He said, but have I not sent you? I'm sending you. There is something in the earth that God has assigned you to do that you're sitting down on because you've gripped with fear. And today is the day of your release. Hallelujah, God. Today is the day, yay, God, of your release in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So now he's beginning to tell the angel how he sees himself, how he views himself. He's beginning to have it. But the angel, God has already prophetically spoken into him. And that's how some of us are. God calls us to do something and tells us that we can do it. There are those who are in leadership who sees the giftings in us, and they call it forth out of us. And we begin to tell them, but my mother and my father was. But my daddy was a cab driver who didn't finish high school. But my mother was just a homemaker who had 12 children, and she didn't even complete the sixth grade. But you don't understand, you know, I'm the least of these. I'm an African-American, you know, and we're the least of those who are accepted in these here United States. We begin to tell God that we try to disqualify ourselves. We try to disqualify ourselves when God has already said, did I not send you? Did I not send you? And so here he is trying to, again, disqualify himself. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from me here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offerings and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Now, again, this isn't the more excellent way. This isn't the more excellent way. But he said, I need to know that I'm having this conversation. This is me and you having a conversation. I want to know that this isn't a mirage. I want to know that this the sun is not too hot on my head and, you know, and I'm seeing things that's not there. I need you to confirm that this is you saying this to me. And see, to me, in this statement right there, in this dialogue right here, this is him preparing himself to do what God has called him to do. This is him saying, okay, I want to do what you said to do, Lord God, but I need you to show me a sign. I need you to show me a sign. Now, you know, there are those who said that, you know, this was his weakness and that he shouldn't have asked for a sign and that he should have just did it, you know. But it took this for him. It took this a confirming for him to be able to say, you know how we do. Our way now is, you know, let me go pray about it. And your people can tell, you know, God called you to do something, or we desire that you help us and assist us in this endeavor, and we'll tell a person. We can be something as simple as, you know, could you say the welcome address on the program, and we'll say, oh, I got to pray about it. I got to pray about it. You know, little simple things that God has us to do. But this was a large endeavor that God had called for this one man to do and told him, I'm going to deliver. Remember, the Bible said that these were, the Midianites and the Amalekites were like locusts. It was so many of them. And here God is telling this one man that I need you to go and come up against this huge army. This huge army, and here we are. We need to confirm whether or not we should say the welcome. We need to confirm if we sing, whether or not we should sing a solo. We need to confirm everything with the Lord. But here he was. He wanted to confirm. God, I just need you to confirm what it is that you would have us to do. The angel's greeting is surprise, but Gideon believed in God. So he wanted to know for sure that it was him. He wanted to know, even with his excuses, he wanted to know that this is God and this is God's endeavors. Where are we at there? What kind of excuses are we giving God? What kind of excuses are we giving God for why we're not moving out on our gifting, our calling, and our anointing? What kind of excuses are we giving God as to why we can't do it and somebody else needs to do it? What kind of excuses are we giving God? And God is saying on today, I need for you to put those excuses aside and whatever, you know, it is that you need for me to show you, because the angel of the Lord told him, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to wait. He said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat. He prepared it an offering. He prepared an offering unto the Lord. He prepared his offering unto the Lord, and he put it in a basket, and he put the broth in the pot and brought it to them and him under the terebinth tree and presented it to them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth, and he did so. And when the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff and it was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the Bible talks about when the fire comes, it consumes the offering, that it's an acceptable offering to the Lord. So here Gideon is. He's having his offering accepted unto the Lord, and we can go and begin to look at it and see even where he begins to ask God for more signs. He's still having this dialogue. He's still prolonging and procrastinating and not moving out on God because of his own fears. Because of his own fears. Now, when God has showed you that he's accepted it, when God has confirmed it for you, it's time to move out on it. It's not time to keep making excuses as to why you can't do it. It's that, you know, we come up against some things and we expect expecting it to turn out a certain way, and it doesn't turn out a certain way, and people don't accept us the way we think that people should accept us, and we become the laughingstock of the church, or we become ridiculed, or we feel like, you know, everybody's not with us, we don't have the majority, you know, because we live in a democratic society, and we want the majority to rule, and sometimes even in that, if we've gotten the okay to be released from God, we need to step out on it. So we need to get over our fears. We need to face our fears. We need to relinquish those things. The Bible says confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. We need to get somebody who is strong in the Lord, who has stepped out on faith, and begin to let them know that I believe that God is giving me this anointing, this gifting, this thing, and I'm sitting down on it, and I need you to help me to pray me through to that next level, to that next place that I need to be in God. Come on, somebody listen to me tonight. It's time for you to shake loose that fear and begin to do what God has called you to do. No more sitting in the background. No more hiding behind the curtain. No more hiding in the shadows. It's time for you to step out on faith and loose that fear and step into the faith of which God has called you to do. The greatest encouragement, what is the greatest encouragement that you can give for this? First and foremost, we need to understand that God had already prophetically spoken into Gideon that he was a mighty man of valor. And we need to understand that the same spirit in Romans 8, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. We've already got what we need in order for us to step out and do what's been assigned to our hands to do. I can hear many of you saying, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what God is asking me to do. Just start by being consistent in your church. You know, start by volunteering at some things within the body of Christ. Start by, you know, looking at the sick list and making a call to somebody who's on the sick list. Start by, you know, there's a starting place. There's a starting place. Don't just sit down and just be a bench member. Don't just be a bench warmer. You know, start being active. Start being active. Overcome your fear with faith. By faith, step out. By faith. Call the sick and let me pray for you. We don't even want to pray for people. We're ashamed to pray for people and to lift them up before the Lord. And we're ashamed to pray loud or in public, you know, for fear, again, of what somebody's going to say to us. Fear of failure, fear of being laughed at, you know, fear of not saying the right thing. But we have to get past our fear, press past our fear, and get to a point where God can use us, and God can use us mightily. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to use us mightily. And so the Lord sent a prophet to dwell. He raised up a prophet in the midst of what the children of Israel were going through here in the book of Judges. He raises up a man. He calls out somebody. He calls them out and begins to tell them that I've given you strength. God has given you the strength to do what is necessary in your particular situation. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it looks like locusts. I don't care if it looks innumerable. I don't care if it looks like it's the highest mountain to climb. God has given you what you need in order to overcome and in order to surpass. And so as we begin to look at that, after God has promised Gideon, you know, I said he wanted a sign, he begins to give him the sign and begins to speak to him. Let's pick up with verse 17. Of course, and we've read verse 17 through verse 20 where he takes the meat. So we're going to pick up with verse 21. And the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff and was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now, Gideon perceived that he was the, that this was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon asked, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you, and do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there, and the Lord called it, "The Lord is Peace." This day, to this day, it is still in Ophrah on the Abizarites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull and second bull of 7 years old and tear down the altar of Baal that your fathers had and cut down the wooden image that is beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the rock in the proper arrangement and take the second bull and offer burnt sacrifice and the wood of the image which you shall cut down." So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. And so here we have an alteration or an amendment to what had been told him to do. Fear, crippling, fear that cripples us and causes us to go into the shadows. Amen. Fear that cripples us and causes us to try to hide and do some things. But we have to learn how to step out and do. That in spite of the fact that he had this, in verse 28 it says, "And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down and the wooden image that was beside it cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built." And so even in that, he still did what the Lord told him to do. Even in that, he still did what the Lord told him to do. And we have to learn how to press past our own fears, press past, because it said that he was fearful of his father's household and the men of the city that were too much. He was overcome with all of those who would come up against him. He was the naysayers. I can remember, you know, the Lord telling me to do something at church, gave me a word of knowledge to release to the church, and I was looking at my pastor at that time and sitting there and asking God, you know, "Okay, God, you know, could you tell him what you just told me?" You know, having this dialogue with the Holy Spirit, you know, because I was looking at my pastor and saying, was he going to receive me? I hadn't gone to him and asked him to make an announcement. You know, you have to go and ask to make an announcement. You just can't stand up and go all willy-nilly in the church. And so I was sitting there having a conversation, and then there was an urgency for the Lord said to stand and release this word to the church. And it was amazing to me that when I stood up in obedience and began to walk towards my pastor, he just handed me the mic. He didn't ask me what I needed to say. He just handed me the mic. God has already prepared the way. God has already prepared the way. He just needs us to be willing and obedient to do what it is he's called us to do. And so I was able to release the word. But even before, after he gave me the mic and I began to look at it, then in my mind I began to wonder who was going to receive it. Who? What were they going to say? Were they going to be receptive? And then have to push past that fear. Again, I have to keep saying, push past your fear to faith. Push past your fear to faith. Whatever it is that God is required of you, push past your fear to faith. Amen. And so, again, here we have Gideon in the 28th verse. He's obedient. He does what the Lord has told him to do. They awake. They see that Gideon has done this thing, torn down the altar, and begin to do what God has told him to do. When we look at Gideon's life, when we look at him being obedient, when we look at him with each step pressing to a place, of course, we go further along. We find out God calls him to do even greater. But it started back with the verse when the angel of the Lord came to him and prophetically spoke into his life and told him he was a mighty man of valor. Prophetically spoke. Even after the dialogue of feeling unworthy, even after the dialogue of telling him who his parents were and his ancestral line and how they were the least of those who were recognized, even after he told him all of that, God still used him. And so there are those of you who are on the line on tonight that I'm speaking to. You may feel like you're unworthy. You may feel like you're too young. You may feel like, you know, your background. You may feel like I have a speech impediment. We know Moses had a speech impediment. You may feel whatever it is that you're trying to tell God or whatever your inadequacies or what you look to be as inadequacies. On tonight, my prayer is that you would see Gideon and how Gideon, even in the fear, he had to push past his fear to be obedient to God. So I'm speaking to somebody on tonight to push past your fear, to push past your inadequacies, to push past even the things that are going wrong. You know, we oftentimes hear people say, when I get myself together, I'm going to go to church. Well, God does. If you can get yourself together, Jesus would not have needed to die on the cross. If you could get yourself together. But you need assistance from the Holy Spirit. You need assistance in order for God to be able to come in and do what he needs to do. And I came to tell you that it's something that's not difficult, it's not hard. It's not difficult and it's not hard. If you've already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's just a matter of saying, you know, Lord, I repent. I was frozen in my fear. But I repent, oh Lord God, and I'm ready, Father, for you to get me to that next place of my purpose. Get me to that next place of my destiny. My answer to you now is yes, Lord God. My answer to you now is yes. Hallelujah. Perhaps you're a person that's listening on tonight and you're just in a situation. You've been out of church for a long time. A lot of things have come against you. You found yourself doing some things that were unimaginable. You didn't think that you would ever do it. And you're probably feeling like, you know what? I've made too many mistakes for God to even come in and assist me right now. But I came to let you know that according to 1 John 1:9, he said, if you would confess your sins, he's just, he's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So right now, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, if you could just begin to raise your hands and surrender to him and begin to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and make some bad things right. Come in and make the crooked places straight in your life. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come in now. I'm raising my hands in surrender to you to come in and make me anew. Come in and make old things pass away and all things become new in me, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through on tonight, perhaps you're a person who is saying on tonight, you know what, I don't want to just come to God because I need something. I want to get myself out of this fix. Come on, somebody. I want to get myself out of this fix and then I'll come to God. I don't want to just use God. I just need, you know, for this thing. I want you to know that that's a spirit of pride. That's a spirit of pride. The Bible says, come as you are. You know, so come to God. You know, God, I found myself in a situation and in a circumstance, oh, Lord God, and I desire to get out of this thing, Father. But even before that, Lord God, I desire the more of you. So, Lord God, I just welcome you back into my life, Holy Spirit. I welcome you back into my life now in the name of Jesus. And now, God, I don't seek my own. I don't seek to get out of this on my own, oh, Lord God. I look to you, oh, Lord God, to assist me in every endeavor, in every walk of life. I look to you, Father. I decided, I understand, God, that I could do nothing of myself, but that it's through you that I live, move, and have my very being, God. So I need you. I need you to help me in everything that I say and in everything that I do. Holy Spirit, come in now and have your way in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. So on tonight, you know, we're praying. Our prayer is that you've identified some things in you that you need God to do, that you understand that fear is not of the Lord, that fear is a trick of the enemy, and that you understand that, you know, fear has no place in you. So according to the word of God, we're going to bind the spirit of fear. We're going to loose that love, power, and sound mind that's talked about in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. We want to just say a general prayer again before we close our segment on tonight. And again, we admonish you, those of you who are listening on tonight, to understand that fear has no place in you. Fear has no place in you, that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. We pray now that you will understand, even as Gideon, that you will press past your fear and press to a place of faith. That's our prayer and our desire on tonight. So on tonight, if you've joined in with us and you have any questions, if you have any comments, we just adjure you to let us know and to email us at Truth Deliverance Ministry with a Y at yahoo.com. Email us any questions, give us any feedback, any comments that you may have. If you could give us some feedback on that line, we would so greatly, greatly appreciate it. Also, we'd like for you to look at us on Facebook and like us on Facebook at Truth Deliverance Ministry on Facebook, like our page on Facebook. And also, as we post this segment, which we would appreciate it if you would listen to it on Facebook. And again, give us any feedback, any comments. If you want to release your name for prayer, if you just want us to pray for you, you know, I listened to the segment. I understand that I've been wrestling with some issues of fear in my life, and that I have been disobedient, and I didn't step out with what God has called me to do because I felt unworthy, because my past was a past of drugs, because my past was a past of prostitution, because my past was my past. I didn't feel worthy to be used of God. And on tonight, I've been released from that thing. Hallelujah. And I'm ready to step into this thing, put my hand to the plow, and not look back. Amen. Amen. We would love to hear your testimonies on our Facebook page as well. Or you can just look at my Facebook page. That would be Apostle Designee Katie M. Pierce or Katie Pierce on Facebook. Again, we look forward to any feedback, any comments, any prayer requests, or any just praise reports as to what this segment has done for you, how it's been a blessing to you. We look forward to hearing from you. We are going to close in prayer. Hallelujah, God. We're going to close in prayer. Hallelujah, God. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come now, O Lord God, praying for this listening audience, O Lord God. I pray for those, O God, who are wrestling in fear, who are wrestling with the spirit of intimidation, O Lord God, or fear of failure, O Lord God, fear of their past, O God, fear, O Lord God, of because where they come from, O Lord God, fear of a past drug addiction, fear of divorce, O Lord God, not feeling worthy to be used as a woman, O Lord God, because we've been told that we can't be used of you, O Lord God. We come against all of the things that the enemy would try to plant in our mind as to why you can't use us, O Lord God. And we come on tonight, O Lord God, relinquishing and breaking free of fear, O Lord God. We come on tonight repenting, God, because we let that thing take a hold of our mind and it froze us in our place, O Lord God. But we thank you for your Holy Spirit now, God. We thank you for this word on tonight, God, that is releasing us, God, into a new level, into a new place in you, God. So we bind every spirit of fear of failure and fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of the unknown, O Lord God. We bind these spirits now in the name of Jesus, God, and we just lose your love in our life, O Lord God, the perfect love that casts out fear, O Lord God. We release that love in us on tonight, O Lord God. We release, O God, the power, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus, your power, your dunamis power that's at work in us, O Lord God. We release that now, O Lord God, that we will break free forth, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O God. We release a sound mind, O Lord God, that we would no longer, O Lord God, be frozen in our fear, O Lord God. We would no longer be intimidated by others, O Lord God, but that we'll just do what you've assigned our hands to do. Even as Gideon, O Lord God, was released, O Lord God, and began to step out in obedience to you, God, so will we, God. We will step out in obedience to you, O Lord God. God, know that your word says that you order our steps, oh Lord God. So we thank you, God, that the steps of a good man have been ordered by you, oh Lord God. And we step out in faith, oh Lord God. Oh God, we bless your holy and your divine name, God. You are a wonder in our soul, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. So we just thank you, oh Lord God. We bind every fear, oh Lord God, every phobia, oh God. We bind it now in the name of Jesus. We come against every tormenting and spirit of horror, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We come against nightmares and dreams, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Things that would try to, again, grip us in fear, oh Lord God. We bind it now in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, God, we bind the spirit of doubt, oh Lord God, and we repent for doubting you, God. We repent for doubting the power that you placed in us, oh Lord God. We repent, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And now, God, we're ready to catapult, oh Lord God, to be propelled, oh God, into your service, God. We're ready, oh Lord God, to go to higher heights than you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we love you, oh Lord God, and we bless your holy and your divine name, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for loving us enough to choose us, oh Lord God. We thank you for it now, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, for knowing us enough and seeing in us, oh God, what we couldn't even see in ourselves, God. We thank you. So we now, God, prophetically release and prophetically decree to those who are listening now, God, that you are a mighty man of valor. That you are a mighty man of valor. We release the spirit of might into you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, God. The might that can break every yoke, every chain. We release might into you now. The Bible says the kingdom suffers violence, but the violent taketh by force. We release the spirit of the violent on you now in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would just begin to step out in faith in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So we thank you, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, for an unshakable, unmovable faith in you in the name of Jesus Christ. Then we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your perfect love, oh God. We thank you now, and we receive your love. We receive your love, oh Lord God, to cover in the places where we thought we weren't worthy. We receive your love, oh God. Somebody who thought they were unworthy to be loved by you, God. Oh, all I need you to say now, my brother or my sister, is, God, I receive your love. Receive his love now. Receive his love now. He loves you. Receive his love now, that it will begin to cover. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so. And so it is in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, thank you so much for joining us on tonight. And we look forward to hearing from you. Please let us hear from you. We would simply love to hear from you. Your prayers, prayer requests, your praise reports, whatever it is that you would need to share with us, we would look forward to hearing from you. But until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.